Good morning. Feels kind of like it's been a minute since I've seen you guys. Someone asked me a question earlier this week, and I said, I literally just parked my car, so I don't know. But it's been a lot of fun going and doing different things, kind of all over the place, here, there, everywhere. If you hadn't heard, I moved right into Bell Fountain, so I have a new place, and it's been pretty nice. That also happened really fast in the middle of all the traveling and everything. So, because someone noticed they didn't see my car at the farmhouse anymore, and they thought that I was gone this whole time. And I was like, oh, no, I moved. Surprise. So, yeah. Just needed to keep you guys on your toes, you know. But it's been a great time, and so I'm excited to get to share with you all this morning. So I would like to tell you all a story from the city challenge that me and CJ and DJ and Jaden got to go to in Columbus. City challenge is with Rosedale International, which is a missions group that helps missions all over from in states to out of states. They do internships, they do all kinds of fun things. And for youth groups, they invite them into the center to kind of learn about missions. How do you do missions in your own hometown? How do you do missions? How can you help missions overseas if you're at your church? And one of the days, after a long day of different kinds of work projects and fun things, we got to go to Grater's Ice Cream. And Grater's also has dairy-free ice cream. It's a dark cherry chocolate chip, and it's amazing. And it's exactly what I needed after that day. And we had a bunch of the kids. We had two youth groups with us. So we had our Gretna guys, and then a group from Dayton, Virginia. And so everybody got their ice cream. And then the interns had a lot of the kids sitting outside, kind of on the street or on the sidewalk. And they decided they were going to teach them a game that they started. So so you have Grater's, and then you have Capital University right across from it. And so you have a lot of traffic. And so the interns would start convincing the kids to start doing, like, try to see how many cars they could get to honk their horns. So you have this whole row of teenagers looking at all these cars that are, like, in that awkward intersection where they kind of can do nothing but stop. And you have, like, all these kids going, do it, do it, do it, do it. And some people would, and the kids would, like, cheer, and the interns would cheer. Some people would just would, like, awkwardly, I can't see you, and then would drive away. But it was funny because as it kept going, the kids would get more excited. They would get right on the sidewalk, and they'd be like, yeah, we're going nuts. And you would start seeing all these people in their cars or their motorcycles or whatever, and they just, like, started grinning and laughing, like, at the kids and laughing with them, and they would cheer for the other cars. And so everybody, it was like a big party that was happening outside. And there were horns honking everywhere. And it wasn't like angry traffic. It was like happy car horns, if that's a thing. And so they were having fun. And then you'd have some of us were still sitting inside kind of watching and enjoying the madness. And we would have people that would come up to us and be like, what are they doing? They're just having fun. It's a game. They're like, oh, okay. And they would just be like, that's kind of fun. And they would just kind of carry on, eat their ice cream. And they started kind of laughing and enjoying it with us. We had a couple people who did not approve. But they kind of just took their ice cream and left. It was fine. But mostly, honestly, most of the people were having fun with us. And it was it was really cool to see. Like, it was just a moment of celebration between strangers just having a blast. And one of the questions that the ministry intern would ask us every day after we did some type of challenge or work project, he would always ask us, where did you see Jesus today? And so that's going to be a little bit about, that's the question I would like for you to hold on to through the rest of this message. So if you'd like to look with me, we'll be in Matthew chapter 16. And our focus will be verses 13 through 20. But I am going to kind of go around a little bit more of chapter 16 as well. But while you are searching for that, I'm going to go ahead and read verses 13 through 20. This will be with the CSB. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do the people say that the Son of Man is?" And they replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But you," he asked them, "who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus responded, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will have been bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will have been loosed in heaven." Then he gave the disciples orders to tell no one that he was the Messiah. So we have Jesus and his disciples, and what had just happened before chapter 16 was the feeding of the 4,000. So Jesus had multiplied and provided food for the crowd, and they were getting ready to go to their next place. And as they're getting ready to go to their next place, they get to meet their besties, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, decided to come hang out with them. Their besties. Besties for the resty. And so the Pharisees and Sadducees, like they do, wanted to question Jesus. They wanted to trip him up. They wanted to figure out who this guy is. So, at verse 1, we talk about the Pharisees and the Sadducees approached him and tested him, asking him to show them a sign from heaven. And he replied, "When the evening comes, you say, 'It will be good weather because the sky is red.' And in the morning, 'Today will be stormy because the sky is red and threatening.' You know how to read the appearance of the sky, but you can't read the signs of the times. An evil and adulterous generation demands a sign, but no sign will be given except the sign of Jonah." Then he left them and went away. So they're looking for a sign, and Jesus talks about how they're really good at checking the weather, right? How do we know how do you know in Ohio that it's going to rain? Yeah? How do you know when it's going to snow? It just kind of comes. So in Kentucky, back home, we always knew that it was getting ready to rain because you would suddenly hear this wind kind of like rustling through the trees, and all the leaves would start kind of like shaking, and it would almost be like this big wind. And you knew you had about 5 minutes to get under shelter before the rain just would go like right. It just kind of like would go through the hills and kind of fade through the trees, and then it was all everywhere. Moving here, there's no hills to warn me when the rain comes, and it just kind of comes. But that was one way we would know. Or you know it's going to be a really hot, humid day when you step outside in the summer and it's really foggy, right? It's really foggy. You're like, it is going to be a nasty day. See really dark storm clouds? Other things like that, you know there's going to be rough weather coming. We have all these different kinds of signs that come around us, and we can easily read those, but Jesus was telling the Pharisees and the Sadducees they actually weren't great readers at what Jesus was doing, because Jesus was doing all the things that the prophets said the Messiah would do, and they weren't paying attention. So how often do we look for signs? We're really good about reading. We're really good about reading all these things from social media, news, propaganda, Facebook scholars. But when it comes to reading the Bible and remembering what Jesus said, we're not always great at that. We get riled up about pictures. We get riled up about what this one person said and all these things, and we forget what Jesus tells us in his word. We get really caught up in those things. I don't know if anybody remembers the the gold and white dress and the blue and white dress, and like everybody kept saying the colors were different, and everybody got really upset about it. It was when I was in college, maybe, I don't know, but it was an interesting time. A lot of people got really upset because nobody could agree on the same color of the dress. And then we think about other times where people are telling us about, this is the end of the world. Well, this is the end of the world. Well, actually, this is the end of the world. All these different things. And we remember, what did Jesus tell us in his word? You won't know. He also told us to be ready. A friend of mine one time, we were talking about all those different things. And he's like, when I read it, I see that Jesus said, watch and be ready. So I'm just going to watch and be ready. So there's lots of different things. And he had been showing all the signs to them. And nobody was really paying attention to what Jesus was actually doing. They were paying attention to all the things around. And then they kept wanting proof, even though Jesus had literally just fed the crowd of 4,000. We can think of other miracles and other healings he had been doing. Well, show us a sign that you're the Messiah. Okay, let me just heal this person again, or different things like that. They kept wanting a sign, and then Jesus said, the only sign you're going to get is the sign of Jonah. Does anybody know what happened to Jonah? He tried to run away, then he got swallowed by a fish for 3 days, and then he came out of the fish in a very creative fashion. So the sign of Jonah was a hint of the resurrection, that Jesus would be buried for 3 days, and on the third day he would rise again. And Jesus was like, that's what you're getting. Because all this other stuff I've shown you, all these other things I've given you, and you're not paying attention. And as we continue to the story, he and his disciples are getting ready, and they realize that they forgot to bring bread. They forgot to bring their lunch. And Jesus told them to watch out and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And they were discussing this among themselves, and they're really confused, and so they said, but we didn't bring any bread. And that just kind of tickles me, because like Jesus is like giving them a teaching in time, and they're like, oh, we forgot bread. And he tells them a little bit about the Pharisees and Sadducees' leaven, and then they're still kind of, I imagine, probably because I used to be a teacher, I imagine it was kind of a little bit of like a glazed over stare, and they were like, but we didn't bring bread. We just said we forgot bread, but you're telling us about bread. We don't have bread. And then I also thought about, what was the miracle that they had just witnessed? Bread. Jesus made more bread, and they're worried that they forgot bread. Yeah, sorry, that just makes me giggle on the inside. Because it just reminds me just how human the disciples were. That it's really easy for us to forget how God provides. That we get really worried about all the physical things and all the other stuff going around, and we forget that he's a provider, and he brings those things. That he is always showing us who he is. And then aware of this, starting at verse 8, Jesus said, you have little faith. Why are you discussing among yourselves that you do not have bread? Don't you understand yet? Don't you remember the 5 loaves for the 5,000 and how many baskets you collected? Or the 7 loaves for the 4,000, or and how many large baskets you collected? Why is it you don't understand when I told you, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees? It wasn't about bread. Then he understood that he had not told them to beware of the leaven in the bread, but of the teaching of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. So they were still kind of focused on the physical part of the bread when Jesus is saying, no, we're talking about the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And a lot of times we can roll our eyes as much as we want about the Pharisees and in company, and we like to make fun of the disciples, but we easily can forget who Jesus was just as easily as they forgot. The Pharisees and the Sadducees, the people of Israel, were to be chosen to be reflections of God to the Gentiles. the Pharisees were supposed to be teachers of the law. They were supposed to teach people how to follow God. And they got caught up in the traditions. They got caught up in the legal things. All of these things, they got caught up in all of those things. And they forgot the heart of the kingdom. And it was supposed to be a kingdom of invitation and a kingdom of redemption. So Jesus was warning the disciples that kind of teaching can slowly get into our system and can get into our hearts. We can get caught up in the wrong things, the things that don't show the kingdom or the heart of God. And it makes us forget about the world of Jesus, the world the Messiah came to redeem and to restore. The teachers of the law were supposed to help the people stay in the way of the kingdom and the ways of God, but they got caught up in the rules and the regulations, and they began to ignore God's desire for the nation to be a light to the broken world. The bride of Christ, the church, is to be a reflective invitation to redemption and hope. And even the disciples, who also missed the mark, and Jesus brought them back. Jesus has always been so good at bringing people back. And I think that he would have done the same thing to the Pharisees if they chose to come back. They just had a hard time with it. But I know in those times where we forget who Jesus is and we forget what the kingdom is about, when we turn back to that, when we remember the heart of the kingdom, that he will bring us back. And then we come to Peter's confession of the Messiah, starting in verse 13. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." "But you," he asked them, "who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus responded, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will have been bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will have been loosed in heaven." Then he gave the disciples orders to tell no one that he was the Messiah. So after having these conversations, he comes to his disciples and he said, "All right, tell me who you say I am." And then Peter, our very excitable and passionate friend Peter, who loves to say a lot of things before he speaks or just gets really excited. I just imagine he just gets very hyper and excited. And Peter finally just says who Jesus is. He's like, "You are the Son of God. You're the one we've been waiting for, the one we've been looking for." And Peter gets it right this time. It's like, "Good job, Peter. We did it." And then Jesus points out to Peter that it wasn't Peter who figured it out. Because Peter's self, he's kind of goofy. He's imperfect like we are. And it made me think of that Jesus had to show him that it was God who opened his eyes to who God was. That we can't do it on our own. Because of the curse of sin, it's broken our image and it's broken our vision. And that we need God to open our eyes to who he is. So we can't see Jesus in our own merit. We have to allow the Holy Spirit to open our eyes to reveal who he is. And then we see Jesus speak over Peter, and he calls him the rock. The church will be built on the rock, that hell can't overpower it. He will be given the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever will be bound on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever is loosed on earth will be loosed in heaven. So he tells all of these great things about Peter that we haven't seen yet, Peter hasn't seen yet. He shows that he is seeing Peter in the kingdom mindset. That a lot of times our perspective isn't clear enough to see how Jesus sees us. That Jesus sees who we will be. He sees what he's speaking over our lives. And even in the people that we don't always see. We don't always see people clearly like we should. But when we go to the we go to the way that Jesus looks at people, it changes our perspective, and it shows the world of Jesus. Because the world of Jesus is about hope and redemption. The world of Jesus shows that there's new life. The world of Jesus shows restoration. The world of Jesus shows that there's no one that's too far gone or too lost. The world of Jesus is an invitation to all who are broken and hurting, those who are trying every day, those who quit trying, that whatever it is, that the kingdom of heaven is open and we're to make heaven crowded. So a little bit more about City Challenge. We talked about the question for you, I asked you to hold was, where do you see Jesus? And so every night we would sit and talk about what the different things we did and where did you see Jesus? And we did things like we walked around the city and we prayed over the city. We handed out lunches and we had lunches with people if they wanted to have lunch with us. We prayed for people. We had conversations with anyone who just wanted to sit and talk. There are a lot of people who just want to sit and talk. They just want to talk, or just to be listened, just to be heard, just to be listened, just to be heard. We cleaned things, we gardened, we worked at daycares, we handed out box fans to people who needed air conditioning in their homes. We did all kinds of things. We even made Christmas cards one day for Christmas in July, and that was a lot of fun. And so I wrote kind of a little, not really a poem, but kind of a little bit poetic wording to that question of where do you see Jesus? And I saw Jesus in the eyes of people grinning when you sat and talked with them. I heard him in the laughter of people honking car horns at goofy teenagers. I saw him in the faces of people getting food, supplies, or even just a moment of prayer. He was all over Columbus. He was sitting on a bench. He was walking to work. He was having coffee at a small table, and he was laughing and eating ice cream. And I can't get enough of his smile. And I believe that he's like that in Bell Fountain, too, or all over Logan County. He's walking around. He's at Sweet Aromas. He's at 600 downtown. I'm starting to get hungry. I'm sorry. he's all over the place. And we just have to take moments and find him. And so we've been talking about the source. And we can't do any of that without Jesus. So just like when Jesus told Peter that it wasn't just Peter, it wasn't just his own strength that opened his eyes to who Jesus was. But it was God having to stir that in him, to open his eyes and to bring that out. Even when we don't know that we're searching, that Jesus is always calling us. He's always working on opening our eyes and our hearts to those things. He is always inviting us. So as he is always inviting us, our challenge is to be inviting to those around us as well. That if we want to have a world perspective like Jesus, we need to understand how Jesus loved people, how he interacted with people, how he spoke about people, and how he spoke to people. So to be part of the kingdom, we have to ask ourselves, where are we seeing Jesus today, and how are we going to interact with him? Will you all please pray with me? Jesus, thank you so much just for who you are. Thank you that you love us. Thank you that you love Logan County. You love all of Ohio, all of the world. You love each and every one of us. You see us, you meet us exactly where we are. I pray that you would continue to stir in our hearts the desire to see your kingdom come, that the kingdom mindset and all of that is already here, and we just need to step into it, that you would teach us what that looks like in our everyday, whether it's just smiling at the cashier or just being kind to anyone. That we can just do those things and those things shine your light. And I pray that you would just help us to walk the way you're calling us to walk and to be that love. Pray that you would help us remember that our source is you, that we can't do any of this on our own, that we need you. And I pray that you would just continue to be with us today. And Thank you so much. It's in your name I pray. Amen.